Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening. And good I'm still here.
Good. Hey, great. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Richard and Ralph from Oklahoma.
And I know we've got at least one caller lined up, and we'll keep an eye on the phone lines and let you guys know when we get that caller.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good.
I will rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. How are you doing today, brother?
Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are, Ralph, up there, and Richard, and it's a great day to be alive. Amen?
It is. This is the day the Lord has made. And welcome, everybody, to Hope is Alive, and I just want to let everyone know, to remind them that we have coming up again in March, 17, 18, 19, and 20 in Oklahoma City, where we will be putting together training. So if you have a heart for this nation, for our people, and feel the call of just to do more than just sit in the pews, if you felt moved in your heart to do more, to have more understanding, to be able to fight the spiritual more effectively, or even understand that there is a spiritual battle that's out there. We know that the Word says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, that we don't always understand what those are. I know for many years I thought I had an understanding of what they were, and I am now growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for, in part, of the many years of teaching of what Pastor Peters has given us, and what I have learned from Pastor Everett here and many others. So if you have a desire and hear the call of the Holy Spirit to join us out there, please get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com. Give us your information, and someone will get back to you. And I am just in a fantastic mood. Heard a great testimony. I don't know if you heard the last testimonies there on the program, Pastor, but that was someone I've known for many years. I've known her since I was just a youngin'. And she has been having some health issues, and we got her some books out, and one of them was Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, and had her concentrate on it. And she said she had done the door closing prayer, and she went in, and they were expecting to be, and her heart was to be 70% blocked, and they said it's not. And she was glorifying Jesus. I am just I am just on top of the world. It brings it closer to home when it's a loved one that you know, someone in your family that has been delivered. Because it's not always easy to reach your family. Even Jesus had those problems too. So it's just I am just jazzed up on that. Just done that high that you talk about. And praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
It is so awesome how the Word will perform itself. And I had mm-hmm. no idea about these healing scriptures at all. Even though I was born again when I was 13, I was age 44 before I ever got introduced to it. And that actually was outside of my church that I'd grown up in pretty much. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the scriptures are there. It's just so many of us. We never were directed to focus on them. They're there in the Bible. All these things we're talking about on these programs, these radio shows and all, they're out. All these scriptures are right there in the Bible, but, you know, we never were pointed out. And once you start learning those scriptures, then
yes.
they will perform themselves as you speak it.
And this is just everyday Christianity. This is not special elitist. You have to be the Melchizedek priesthood or Phineas priesthood or do years and years of intensive training, because it's the Holy Spirit's there to lead and guide if you just apply and speak the Word. We're talking about just everyday Christianity. I know that you've talked about this with me before, Pastor, and I finally got a copy of it, but the supernatural occurrences of John Wesley, I started reading it last night, and I could almost not put it down. Because it was like he kept a diary and a journal, and the things that he saw and witnessed were just like what was going on in the Bible. And this is just a man who is no different than us, has the same access to the blood and cross that we do, and the things that he witnessed is just it happened the days of Acts, and before that it happened during his time in the late 1700s, and it happens today. But the great news is that we have been given all power and authority over the enemy, that we can command these spirits to leave in the name of Jesus, and they have to obey. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I have one of those books as well, and it astonished me as I went through there. John Wesley was doing all the things we're talking about. And yet the mm-hmm. Methodist Church, which I spent a number of years in, somehow, for the most part, of what John Wesley did is drifted away as the years have gone by. And
mm-hmm.
It's sad, but it's just the way it is. But the good news is it can be revived, and the
Amen.
Word is still there. So
Amen.
That's why we're on the show tonight, speaking about the supernatural works of Jesus, that it's still going on, and it is not, as Ralph said, a special gift at all. It is normal Christianity. The teams that we use at Deliverance Ministries, we did 12 cases this last Monday, and 12 ministers there, and those ministers are lay people from churches all over the Oklahoma City area. They've gone through our training. They learned about it, went through our training, and become team leaders. And so that's why we're able to do that many deliverances, exorcisms in one evening. I did one myself, and then the other teams did the others, and I did a teaching and preparation part first. But it's exciting to find out that the supernatural is alive and well. It's going forth as Christians speak it, and it's a high adventure. I find it most fulfilling to be in the middle of it, as all of us do.
Yes, and it's just. It is so rewarding. Of course, the Bible says it's better to give than to receive, and when those ministers that do that, they're not paid. They are taking their time for service. And that's an honorable thing to do. They're doing it for a love for their
yeah.
Christian brothers and sisters. And that is just, I mean, it's just amazing that some come out week after week after week I have been volunteering for years in certain organizations, and sometimes I just, oh, I got to go do that again. And once I get there, I'm all great and glad I'm there. But I don't see that when I've been out there with that group of people. And I think that's because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon so many of them, and that just really encourages you. And then they obviously get feedback through testimonies and feedback from shows like this and feedback from maybe calling the person they had ministry with, and that's just awesome. And again, we don't have to go to Oklahoma City to do this all. You can, the materials are available online at deliveranceusa.com. The book is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is available at Scriptures for America. You can call the office number at 307-742-7582 and get a hold of Richard there or get him through email. And we'll get one sent out to you. And I like to call it Casting Out Demons for Dummies, because this man, Pastor Everett, has just done a really good job of laying down a simple blueprint for doing this, and it covers all the bases. They have found that if you do these things in a specific order, you have less problems, and the spirits seem to come out better and easier that way. And so if you're interested in more about this, get a hold of us at info@deliveranceusa.com, and we will definitely get back with you as soon as possible.
Another thing, Brother Ralph, in essence, we are paid. We're paid by being on highs.
Well, we're laying up treasures in heaven. We're laying up treasures in heaven.
Well, yes, for sure. But at the end of the evening, you know, when the people have pretty much left and we're putting things away, and the teams, mm-hmm. I've noticed, they have a tendency to linger. They're as excited as the person was that was set free and healed, and because they got to see God use them, and the word perform itself as they spoke it, and they're on huge highs. I mean, grinning and joyful, excited, and you know, I'm the same way when I go home. I know the others the same way. It's a little hard to go to sleep at first. We're so pumped.
Yes,
you kind of have to wind down, you know.
Yes.
Well, guys, we've got our first caller on. If you're ready for me to bring him on. And it's Stephen Velma. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hello, how are y'all tonight?
Yeah, Stephen, if you guys could back up from the phone a little bit, it sounds like you're too close to it and you don't want to speak too loud in the cell phone.
Okay.
Because it'll kind of distort. But thanks for calling in. Is that Steve, is Velma on with you?
She sure is, Everett, and we're happy to be here.
Okay, well,
can you hear us okay?
Yeah, you sound fine now, as long as you just kind of stay off a little ways from the phone.
Sure.
Yes, if you could go ahead and kind of share, Steve, on how you guys first heard about this works of Jesus, the reality of it, and then just share any experiences you're comfortable with telling.
Sure, Everett. I first became aware of deliverance ministry through my wife, and she has known you for many, many years, you and your wife. But Velma and I have been married for about going on 9 years, So I came to know about deliverance through her, and we've had the opportunities to visit deliverance ministry here in Oklahoma City and to go through deliverance and what an awesome experience it is. And as you know, Everett, you know a little bit about my story, but I was an alcoholic for probably 37 years, something like that, almost a little over 4 years ago, four and a half years ago, I was actually, my liver failed, and I was diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver and had gone into the hospital and almost died. They gave me a prognosis of maybe 3 to 6 months, and it's been well over 4 years, so we know the healing power of God, and And
praise God.
Yeah, we he actually took the I had drank every day for all those years, and somehow or another, even though I was, I like to tell people, even though I was running from God, his grace was following me around and kept me from being in car accidents and thrown in jail and who all knows what, maybe causing injury or death to someone. And but you know, he took the, you know, he delivered me from alcohol. And then recently, as you know, I unfortunately I let the enemy get to me, and I relapsed. And so with a lot of help and a lot of prayer and the Holy Spirit and deliverance ministry, I was able to be delivered from that. I had the opportunity to meet with you one-on-one, and we went through, and you found a lot of things that were, you know, even though I'd been through deliverance a couple of times before, you were able to actually reach down and find some things that, you know, some demons that I was still dealing with that I thought that I had cast out, or that I thought that I had been, you know, delivered from. But sometimes we have things, I think, buried so deeply that we're not even aware. We think we've dealt with them, but we haven't. And, you know, one thing the Lord laid on my heart tonight that I wanted to share with you is there's a misconception, I think, among many born-again Christians that they feel like that there's a camp out there, I guess, or a group of people out there that believe, you know, that they're born again and that Christ died on the cross and forgave us of our sins, and whenever they accepted him as their Lord and Savior, they don't believe that they could actually, you know, have demonic spirits in them because they're Christians. And of course, we know that's not biblical, and many examples of that. And but of course, we have the power. You know, God gives us, as you know, as you impress upon us all the time in your ministry, Luke 10:19. We have all power to walk on serpents and scorpions, and so, and of course, serpents being represented, you know, representing the enemy, and we do have the power to cast these things out, and but we also have to have the ability, and we have to be sensitive to God's word and God's voice, and to know when it's the enemy talking to us. You know, we not only have to be, I was telling somebody the other day, we not only have to be sensitive to the voice of God, we've got to be sensitive to the enemy as well. Because the enemy works by deception,
yes,
he will disguise himself sometimes. And so, I think it's not only is it, of course, important to have the discernment of to hear God's voice, and God does speak to us. He's a talking, living God, but the enemy can speak to us too, and we have to have that discernment to know when the enemy's attacking and when it's time for us to take that authority and cast him out. But, you know, praise God, he gives us that authority every day. And so I just give him the glory for everything. And we're so blessed to be here in Oklahoma City with you and you know, to have a personal contact and relationship with you. And so my wife, Belma, is here also, and if you have anything in particular you want to say to her, or if you have any other questions for me, I'll be happy to answer your questions. But here's Belma.
Hello.
Yeah, Belma, go ahead and share. Go ahead and share, Belma.
Okay, thank you. I met you about 25 years ago, and I had just moved to Oklahoma City from northwest part of the state of Oklahoma, and I went through a very bad divorce, and I was very broken, and I didn't understand a lot. I was a Christian, and I didn't attend church all the time, but I did quite a bit at home. And when I heard about your ministry, it was just a blessing. a blessing I could never even imagine, because you give explanation of what the Bible says, how the enemy works. And you had Oklahoma Mortgage, and you was down in United Founders Tower. It was, and I know that was about 25 years ago. And when I first heard you and talking about how Satan attacks, I always thought that I just didn't believe in that. I just thought it was like a horror movie you've seen, and it was just a show. But by coming and listening to you, I realized the things that was happening to me was of Satan. Before I did leave and come to the city, my ex-mother-in-law told me she was a practicing witch. And I had many things happening to me, and through your prayer and through your deliverance, the enemy got broken. And
Praise God.
So thankful for deliverance ministry.
Praise God.
And since then, I've got to tell many people about your work. And we brought my cousin over Monday night, and she's just a different person. She's so relieved, and she's just so filled with the Spirit, and we're so thankful for it right now. And I've told many at work, and I just know you've got a great work there, and I want other people to know how you can reach and how the Word really works. And Satan is there, and he does come to kill, steal, and destroy. You may not think so, but
yes.
It may be just minor things that's happening, but you're hurting inside. And you know that's not
yes.
the way God wants you. And when we can come and break those strongholds, it's just totally different. And that's what you have taught me, is how to do it. And that's what you want us to do. You want us to learn it as warfare, to be able to be aware of the enemy and what he's trying to do, to where we can break those strongholds and use his word. So I truly believe that you have been a blessing to many, many people, and you and your wife have been to me. And I truly want to thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Velma. I appreciate that. And just hearing your story and Steve's, what you just told is going on all over everywhere. And most of those people that are having the same kinds of experiences that you and Steve have had, most of those people are just like they were. They've never gotten any ministry along these lines, and they are living under that bondage. So, it's a blessing that a Christian ever finds out that there is deliverance available, that they can be free. So many of the spirits, as we know, are generational, have come down, and we can be free of that. So our mission is to share it and tell it. About every day I talk about how blessed I am that somebody shared it with me 39 years ago. I could have missed it so easily, and I just praise God that a friend of mine did share, and that's what ultimately led to me learning about this and even getting into it. So think how many you can share with Velma and you and Steve as well, and it spreads out that way.
Absolutely, Everett. I would have never thought,
Well, I guess we lost there.
I think we lost him.
I think we did, and I've got another caller. I don't know if it's your next caller, but we can sure find out. Good evening. Welcome to Hope is Alive.
Hi.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, is this Tashina?
This is her.
Well, good evening. You're live on the radio, and there's Ralph and Pastor Cox here, so go right ahead.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Well, hi.
Hi, Tashina.
Hi.
Great that you called in. Yeah. How's everything out west there?
We're doing good.
Well, Tashina, if you could share, we just had a couple on before you here. They were still on, but the line cut off. But I'm glad you called in. It was good timing. Could you go ahead and share how you first learned about deliverance and then whatever you're comfortable and any experiences you've had?
Sure. Well, I guess it was about a year and a half ago. My husband was given the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And he read it, and then he gave it to me, and I read it. And it was something we both wanted to do. But we didn't get to doing it. Some things came up. And anyways, my husband went to deliverance in January of this year. And while he was there, he had called me, and I could tell already that there was a difference in him. I don't know what it was. And when he came home, he didn't say a word to me, but as soon as he walked in the door, I could tell there was a difference about him, and it was a good difference. And I spent the next 24 hours analyzing him, trying to figure out what this was. And we had visitors staying with us and all that, so we didn't have a lot of time to talk. And anyways, we eventually talk, and he told me about his experience and everything, and asked me to go through the door closing prayer, and that encouraged me to want to go down and go through deliverance myself. And we have a young son, so I didn't think that would be possible, but he didn't want that stopping us, so we made the trip down there. And as I said before we went down, I did the door closing prayer, and when I went through it, there was a part of it that struck home, and I felt better after doing it. I did it once more before going down to Oklahoma, and again, I felt much better. And then as we're going down to Oklahoma, I did the checklist that they ask you to do, make sure I did everything right. Of course, as I was going down, I was a little skeptical and had a lot of doubts and everything coming into my mind, which I'm sure was from the enemy. And then we went down there. We had our young son prayed over first, and then I went through a deliverance session. And I remember when we went through the door closing prayer again, that there was yet another part that hit home. And then we took a break, and Mr. Cox had told us, you know, now's the time to make a choice tonight. And, you know, if you need to repent of anything, you need to do it now before our deliverance. And I remember there was just so much that came to my mind. And here I thought I'd repented of everything, but even more came to my mind. And I really wanted to be thorough because I wanted to make sure this session was the best it could be. And then we went for the session. And there were there was a generational curse broke, and there was also inner healing. I had miscarriages in the past, and I can say that that is the most peace that I've ever had about that situation, those miscarriages. And so I've tried many times in the past to find some kind of biblical way of dealing with them, and I just have never dealt with them in a while emotionally, and I felt so much better after going through that in the deliverance session. And then there was our young son who we had brought with us to be prayed over, and much to my surprise, during my deliverance session, it was revealed that there is a satanic assignment against him from a close family member of ours. And the assignment was murder, which, looking back, makes sense after knowing all that he went through. And I'll go more into that later. But it was brought out, you know, that assignment was still in place because of my unforgiveness towards this person. And so even though we had just prayed for him a couple hours earlier, we still had to break that satanic assignment in order for that healing to take place. And so I had to forgive that person, and and so forth and so on. So that was a big thing for us because we've been dealing with a lot of issues with our little boy physically since he was born. But as far as me, going back to me before I get into our son, the number one goal for going before deliverance for myself was to be closer to God. And, you know, after you've been baptized and you get that zealous, you know, feeling that you want to go spread the word of God to everybody and everything. And then over the years, it just kind of fades away and you kind of wonder what happens and you miss it. Well, after reading, you know, that the book, it made sense to me. You know, it's the sins in our life, in the doors we open that crowd that relationship between ourselves and God, and we need to get that out of the way. And so, after deliverance, I definitely felt closer to God. I felt, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed a lot of things to me. A lot of things became really clear that weren't before. And a very interesting thing for me was I kept a copy of that checklist that they have you do. And when I went back over it, because I made sure I was really thorough the first time, my eyes hit upon the title of doubt, and I had not circled that. And I thought, how could I have not circled that? My life has been plagued with doubt. But I never saw it before, the deliverance. But it was perfectly clear afterwards when that had been taken away. And so, and things like that, since the deliverance have happened, a lot of things, like I said, have become more clear. Also, I've noticed... you know, you're responsible for keeping those doors shut. And so I really work on making sure that I have no unforgiveness towards people. And that's hard because you deal with people every day, and especially, you know, friends or family or whatnot, it's very easy to be offended and angry at them. And, you know, as before, it was hard to kind of find people, things to confess and be repentant of every day. Just, for me, I just didn't see that there's much there. But after deliverance, you know, every day, it's like there's four or five things that you're always repenting of, different things, but they come up, you know. You review your day and you're like, oh, you know, I really need to repent of this. I don't want to be angry at this person or, you know, been too judgmental, whatever it is. And so that has been made more clear as well. And, I think that's because the demons and the relationship between you and God has been is more clear now, and it's more in you to want to keep that slate clean, so that you don't have those torments come back upon you.
Amen.
So that's good.
So Shana, how did we figure out there was a curse on your baby or assignment? The head demon actually disclosed that, didn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't that how we found out?
That there was a spirit of, it was the spirit of infirmity upon him. With the assignment of murder, if I remember correctly. I have to go look, but I think that's how it was. And that's how it was revealed, you know, going through the session that came up. And I guess going to Callan now, when he was born not breathing. And he was in NICU for... Well, I'd say in and out of NICU for the first 2-3 months of his life. And they more or less told us that he wasn't going to survive. And
I remember saying that. Yeah, speaking out of your mouth. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, boy, that was really good that we got hold of that, wasn't it, and found that out. Praise God.
Yeah. Yes, praise God.
Sure. And
praise the Lord.
After the deliverance, we've seen a great improvement in him. You know, he was behind physically by 5 months, and he's almost 10 months old. And we saw him use his right hand to play with toys, which he'd not done before. A few days after we got home, he was working towards scooting, which is the first step towards crawling, which he didn't do before we left for Oklahoma. And his disposition seems a lot happier overall. And tonight we witnessed him actually take the spoon and try to feed himself, and we've never seen that before. And it's only been just over 2 weeks
since
I went through. Yeah. So we've seen great improvements on his end. And so overall, it's just been a great, you know, it's been a great testimony for our family. I guess the only thing that I would point out, you know, my husband went first for a deliverance, and then I went. But if I hadn't gone, then, you know, we wouldn't have found out what was preventing Callan's healing. And so I think it's really important that both spouses consider going for deliverance, because it can really affect the entire family, especially your children. And
yes,
that's just something that I think everyone should consider. I mean, everyone has their own choices, but, you know, for us, it was a big deal, so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, here in Oklahoma City, we've gotten to the point when playing about ministering to their children, we suggest that the parents go through deliverance first, so we can get these generational curses broken and all those things. And so many times, they haven't needed then to bring the child in. I remember several cases where we'd scheduled a child for them to bring him in on Wednesday to the ministry office. The parents came in the Monday before, got ministry, and then they called and said, well, the child doesn't need it now. So, you know, something about getting those generational curses broken off, hold on to your hat. Good things are likely to happen. So that was kind of what you're talking about there. We got stuff broken off. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what thing is so neat about, I'm sorry, Tashina, what's your son's name?
Callan.
I'm sorry, that was kind of muffled. What was it again?
Callan.
Okay. Well, what's so awesome about it is, he's so young, he can't be faking this. I mean, talking about proof. Proof is in the pudding, because I think a lot of times people think when they, that you go through this, oh, this is, maybe mind over matter or suggestive. I've heard these things. Well, that's just hypnotic type suggestion or something to that effect. Well, this is a child. He's how old again? About 9, 10 months old.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so there's no faking here. I mean, the 1 minute the boy couldn't do this, the next minute he's able to do this, and that is just absolutely awesome. I was so encouraged when I heard Steve's testimony a few weeks ago, and I was looking forward to you coming back on, because obviously Mama spends a lot more time than Daddy does with them, and I'm sure you're noticing a lot of things.
Yes, for sure. You know, because of the condition that the label that they placed upon him when he was born, he's had therapies since he was about 3 months old every week. And even the therapist have commented about how he wasn't even able to do this 2 weeks ago, and we've been trying for months to get him to accomplish it. So it's very obvious. He's obviously going to play catch up, but he's moving fast. So
praise God. Well, the fun part of this is, you know, as we unload these spirits for all of us, and of course we normally get a good three dozen out of each person we minister to. When they're gone, it's the real person that is left now, now finally able to use their God-given gifts and talents and to get on track for their destiny. And that, of course, is why Jesus commanded believers in Mark 16:17 to cast demons out, because most people need it. It'd be an extremely rare person this side of Jesus that doesn't need this kind of ministry.
Amen. Amen.
Well, maybe you and Steve can start learning to minister now over in that area. And certainly many of us, as we've gone through ministry, then we had a tendency to want to learn it. And because we're seeing all these hurting people around us, that it's kind of obvious they've got spirits, because we kind of understand them now, that how they're so common. So maybe you guys can start ministering up there in northern Colorado.
Well, we're definitely considering it.
Praise God. That's how it spreads, you know.
It is. It is. Now, did you give testimony to a therapist on why the difference was there?
No, I didn't go into that.
That's why I think you're crazy.
Probably.
It may be wise not to say something just yet.
Yeah.
So. Is there anything else you feel well to share?
Just that you find yourself being really careful. You know, my husband brought up, you know, with the therapist that we should pray over him, that nobody, because, you know, this is their livelihood. This is what they do, and, you know, maybe not everyone's evil like that, but there are some out there. I've seen it with doctors, and so we made sure that we've been praying over Callan that they can't do any harm to him, these therapists, because of his getting better. You know, they don't want to, we don't want them to try and make his situation worse for their benefit, I guess is what I'm saying. So we've just been really careful about everything, really, just pray about a lot of things. Now that you can deliver, you see a lot more things, I guess.
Right.
Praise God.
Well, that's exciting, Sheena. We're excited for you and Steve, and go forward now and enjoying life. Amen.
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 Anything else you'd like to say before we wind up here to the listeners?
I guess the only other thing I'd say is don't hold off doing it. You know, we could have done this a year and a half ago and seen all the differences then, and you know, I probably, our young son wouldn't have been affected like he would have if we had just done it then. But so don't hold off. The enemy will always put up roadblocks to try and prevent you from going, for obvious reasons.
All right.
So make the sacrifice and do it, because it's you know, after what we've been through, it's just not worth putting it off.
Amen. It's a fun kind of ministry to do, because everyone feels so much better afterwards. So it's not wild like some people think. What we experienced when I ministered to you was pretty low key, would you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Wasn't any big deal, and no violence, no. Nothing wild like the movies. It was just sitting there in the chair and ministering.
Yeah, so.
And that's typical of
most. Very calm and laid back. And, yeah. It wasn't anything like you picture in your mind.
Right. Well, blessings to you all. Excited for you, and you all have a great evening.
Thank you for calling
in, thank
Gina.
You for having me
God
on
bless.
And letting me tell our story.
Oh, it was great, Gina. God bless you.
Thank you. You all have a good night.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well,
bye-bye.
There's our Jesus. There's our Jesus for us again. Another great testimony.
Amen.
Another member right here from the ranks of Scriptures for America. I met Sheena for the first time about 6-7 years ago. She got a beautiful singing voice. Her and her sisters used to do a lot of singing for the ministry. So this is someone who's been washed in the blood of Jesus, baptized for remission of sins, has been a Christian for many years. And what do you know? She had things that tormented her, spirits that were out there. And it's just further proof that it is a lie for someone to say that Christians cannot be affected by demons, cannot be influenced by demons, or cannot have a, or even be demonized, not possessed, but demonized. And I just, really interesting that she talked about the forgiveness, because I know that we've mentioned this before, and in my talking with you and what's in your book, that is a big, big door opener. And that is something command. It's a command from the God to do. And during the Bible reading plan, this last week, we finished up with the book of Genesis. And there is a perfect example of forgiveness in that story of Genesis with Joseph and his brothers. I mean, if there was ever anyone who had a reason to be bitter, who ever had a reason to pay back, it was within his power to pay back, because when his daddy, Jacob Israel died, his brothers were in terror and came before him and bowed down and said, "We are your servants," which obviously is a fulfillment of the prophecy that that came to Joseph in his dream, that his brothers would bow down before him. But it's just a wonderful story of forgiveness, because Joseph, it said he wept. He wept. He felt no ill will towards his brothers. And I'm just thinking of the generational curses that could have been passed on for years and years and years, because Joseph could have easily said, "All right, I got you where I want you, you dirty, no-good so-and-sos." But that's not what he did. He did what was commanded of us, commanded to forgive. And he forgave his brothers. And his brothers, in most people's eyes, did not deserve the forgiveness. I mean, you think about what they did. And I'm just so glad that our forefather, Joseph, that we can look to as an example. And I know that he is a type of Christ, and there's a lot of commentaries on that, the type of Christ and the forgiveness that Christ gave us. But he was kidnapped. They contemplated murdering him. They sold him into slavery. Then he was mistreated when he was in slavery. He was getting falsely accused of adultery, thrown into prison. helped the baker out, and the baker said, "Yeah, I remember you." And then the baker forgot him, and he sat there for many, many years. I believe he was actually in, I think it said 13 years in the prison.
Yes.
And
that's a lot of time. Yeah, that's a lot of time to get bitter.
To forgive.
Yeah, and that's a long time that he could have got bitter. But he didn't. He forgave.
The same principles that applied then, those principles that applied then are applied now. And we of course, have seen unforgiveness block healing, physical healing. Really blocks everything. It'll block deliverance. Many times I've seen demons, they will not go. They have a legal right to stay. And we can command them, even though we have all power. A legal right has been given to the demons to stay in the person because of the unforgiveness. That even includes unforgiveness toward one's own self. And sometimes people are blaming God for certain things that have happened in their lives. So I've often wondered with all the groups around that pray for healing right along, why they don't have people work on forgiving beforehand. I know that we'd see a lot more miracles if that was being done. It just amazes me that they kind of skip over that, because we've seen it over and over and over for years, that it will block everything. It's not worth it when we can choose, even though the person doesn't forgive, to be forgiven, just like so many situations, we didn't deserve to be forgiven either. So God expects us to do the same for others, or we're turned to the tormentors. And so there we are. We see people turn to the tormentors, including spirits of sickness, constantly. And the body of Christ overall does not have much of a grasp of this yet.
No, no. And this is, and forgiveness is just, it's so prevalent in the scriptures. And I'll tell you, when I went through the door closing prayer and sat there and went through our deliverance, when you really focus on it, you'll start seeing there's a lot of things in your life that you haven't forgiven. Because I was pretty sure I didn't have any ill will towards anyone, with except a few, and things were being revealed. And I remember one thing being revealed was I had been holding on to something that happened to me when I was a young child from my older brother, and I had to forgive on that. And it was something so silly, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to me.
Well,
that I have been hanging on to this, and I believe that if I hadn't chose to forgive, that I probably wouldn't have gotten past the point that I was at. And it's just amazing what people will not forgive, or they'll
don't have
to forgive God's enemies.
That's one advantage.
Go right ahead, sir.
Brother Ralph. One advantage of the inner healing part of the ministry that we do, as we come up through the years and people lock on to certain events, the Lord shows them certain memories, certain traumas, and they realize they've got a bunch of bad feelings, and they'll often kind of share what went on and what somebody did to them, and I'll say, well, have you forgiven that person for that? And so many times they'll say, well, I don't guess I have, you know. Do it now. And so we'll smoke out more unforgiveness as we come through the years in that inner healing, and plus knocking out the very roots that demons of those bad feelings, those demons are feeding off of that. So it's kind of complicated, but it's just a matter of learning to do it. And, oh, my gosh,
Amen.
What a difference it'll make in a person's life. It's what's sad is so few Christians ever get to get deliverance. They live their whole lives just coping with the spirits. They still go to heaven, but they never live life abundant here.
Yes, the abundant life that's here, because Jesus did come to save us from the hand of those who hate us, want to destroy us, and that is here on this earth as well, because there are those that want to destroy us, and they're in the spirit world a lot of times. So I also want to mention again that we do have the training coming up. This is coming up here in March, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. You do not have to be there all weekend. If you could come for part of it, all of it, fantastic. But if just part of it, fantastic. We will get you the training you need. We have basically just want men to know out there that if they just feel more, they feel called to do more for the Lord, more service for the Lord, this is the way to do it. This is the way to help set the captives free. We want to see people doing this across the nation, not just in Oklahoma City, but across the nation. But it has seemed that Oklahoma City seems to be just about the center part of the country, and we have just been gravitated more and more there by the Holy Spirit. Again, I love to tell this testimony. The first time we met there, we went to that church, and we've been praying the night before, Lord, let the revival for America begin here in Oklahoma City. Give us a sign. And a woman came up to us we'd never met before. I had no idea who we were. And she came and said, the Lord told me to tell you that the revival begins here in Oklahoma City, and here's your sign. And that is just opened my eyes up even more to the working of the Holy Spirit. And there's just... if you have interest in this, it's info@deliveranceusa.com. Again, the ministry tools are available at that same website, or you can get the book through Scriptures for America by calling the office number at 307-742-7582. That's Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. Are we getting towards the end here, Richard?
We are. We've still got about two more minutes, and great testimony. And I can tell you, like Sheena said about little Callan, the last couple weeks, just seeing him on Sunday at church, night and day difference. He's smiling. He just looks right at you and just laughs, and just he's just a regular little boy, regular little baby boy now. And praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
what it's
Lord.
All about.
And I like what Sheena said.
We'd quit.
Yes. And I like what Sheena said, that the main reason that she chose to go through deliverance is try to grow closer to God. And
yes.
I know for me, it has helped me jump leaps and bounds in my Christian walk going through the deliverance, and it helped me to see things in a different light. And actually, I think I have more compassion in my life now, because I was so quick to be judgmental of the things people were doing, instead of feeling more sympathy and more empathy for the fact that maybe these people are under torment, and that's why they do the things they do.
Yes. Yes, you can't help but have more compassion, but the good news is you realize there are true answers before them.
Yes, there is. There is true answers. There is.
There's hope.
Praise God of that.
For hope is alive. Amen.
Hope is alive. Amen, brother. Amen. No.
Praise God.
All right. Well, here we are. Another Wednesday, done and gone.
Thank you, Brother Ralph.
And I'm feeling the Holy Spirit and just the power and joy of it. So God bless, brothers.
Amen.
God bless
you
all.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like it.